In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. Today, I am doing part three of my six-part series on the Nicene Creed. As a reminder, if you have missed any of the previous parts or will miss any of the parts coming up, they will be on the website listed in the bulletin. Well, today we'll be doing a little bit more theological heavy lifting, so I do hope you guys warmed up this morning. Very frequently, I will have an experience as I'm standing at the back of the church. Children will often come up and I'll try to shake their hand, and a lot of times they'll try to hide behind their mommy or daddy. Well, about 6 months ago, when I was in New Jersey, I had a little girl who consistently did this Sunday after Sunday, would hide behind her mom. And a couple times I actually got her to shake my hand. Those were big triumphs for me. And one day, it was a special parish event, and her mom comes up with the little girl and she says, "Say hi to Father Matthew." And the little girl goes, "That's not Father Matthew." And the mother looked down at her and said, "Oh, well then who is it?" She goes, "That's God." "I'm sorry, kid, you must have me mistaken for somebody else. I can assure you that I am not God." But God does manifest himself in this world in many, many amazing ways. God appears to us in very tangible, visible forms. God appears to us in scripture, in prayer and discernment, in signs, and especially in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, anytime God is manifested to us, we can attribute this to the second person of the Trinity, even though all three are at work. Now, our first reading came from Genesis today, and in it, it says, "The Lord appeared to Abraham. He looked up and saw three men standing near him." Over the centuries, Christian tradition has held that these three men represent, as often threes do in the Bible, can probably guess, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. It's a very well-known icon by a Russian man by the name of Rublev, which is called the Holy Trinity. And it's a scene, it's an icon of the scene of three angels or three persons of the Trinity, who is God appearing to Abraham. Well, it would seem not many people have had such a close encounter with God. I mean, how could you? It would be something that would be maybe frightening or almost impossible. For Moses, when he had an encounter with God on Mount Sinai, he had to cover his face. For Elijah, it was a deafening silence. And so an encounter with God would seem very extraordinary. But in reality, our encounters with God are quite common. Last week's Old Testament lesson, Moses says in Deuteronomy, "The word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and upon your heart." The word is probably creation's most common encounter with God. Now, when I talk about the word of God, what is the first thing that comes to mind? You guys can probably guess this. I saw it. The Bible. Scripture. Scripture is the Word of God, and so it is a manifestation of God. But the Word itself is even manifested in other ways, in creation. Remember in the Genesis story, Genesis 1:1, the earth was formless and void, and God uses words. What are those words? Come on, you guys know this. "And God said..." Hey, there you go. You guys get a pass for today. "Let there be light." By simply speaking, God works marvelous acts. In the theme of words, the opening words to the Gospel of John begin, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." So here we are on my third installment of the Nicene Creed, and you might be wondering, well, this is all great, but what does any of this have to do with the Nicene Creed? Well, today I'm looking specifically at lines 5 through 13 of the Nicene Creed, and it says, "We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made." Now that last line, "through him all things were made," that might be a little perplexing, maybe a little confusing to most people. Because you might be thinking, now wait, how were things made through Jesus? I mean, come on, wasn't he born a long time later? You can't fool me, preacher man. I saw last year's Christmas pageant. I know how this story goes. Well, we get an answer in today's epistle lesson in St. Paul and Timothy's letter to the Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So maybe there's a little more to this Jesus guy than we thought. Well, let's back up a little bit. These lines from the Creed introduce the second person of the Trinity. And so the first part is the only Son of God. Now this is a very important detail, because it's not like this can happen again. The life, the acts, and the person of Jesus Christ are not replicable. They are inherently part of God. Eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made. These words tell us that the second person of the Trinity is an inseparable, co-equal, co-eternal part of God, sharing in God in every way. It tells us that the Father can do nothing without the Son, and the Son can do nothing without the Father. Remember Jesus' words, "I and the Father are one." Jesus is the Word that God used in creation. Through him, all things were made. But really, that second person of the Trinity is any tangible manifestation of God in this world. This includes Word, it includes Scripture, it includes Holy Wisdom, this theme that is talked about through all of the Old Testament. Or really, it is anywhere else that God shows up to us in a tangible, real form. Our gospel lesson is the story of Mary and Martha. And it's a little bit of a strange story, because here we have the story. Jesus comes to a town, and he's greeted by these two women, these sisters, Mary and Martha. And at first glance, you might think Martha is right. Because here she is, she's doing all the work, and her lazy, good-for-nothing sister is just laying there on the floor, listening to Jesus, not helping out with any of the chores, leaving Martha to do everything by herself. And here's Martha, she's going, hey, look, aren't we called to serve? Isn't this what God is all about? I'm serving. What's going on here, Jesus? Tell my lazy, good-for-nothing sister she needs to get up and help me out. But that's not what Jesus tells her. In fact, Jesus surprises us a little bit, as he often does, and he says, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by so many things. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Because Mary is listening to the Word incarnate. She herself is having a close encounter with God. It brings me back to those words, the Word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and upon your heart. And you really can't get much closer than that. Like Martha, we often do not recognize the Word. But the Word is very near to us. Does God speak to you in Scripture? Do we hear God in the words and wisdom of one another? When we pray, do we listen? That same God who created the universe is the same God who has these intimate moments, just like with Mary and Martha. God is powerful, yet God is close to us, continuing to use that word to speak to us every day. God guides us and consoles us the same way that Jesus did in those days many years ago. God is manifested to us in so many very real and tangible ways. Everything that we know about Jesus, his life, his teachings, his miracles, all hinge on the fact that Jesus is God, light from light, true God from true God, in every single way. Jesus is God, manifested in this world. And God is still present, very present to us. God is present in our prayers, in scriptures, in the words of others, and in so many other real ways. And with an inquiring and discerning heart, we too can encounter God, just like Abraham and just like Mary and Martha. The Word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and upon your heart. Amen.